Recording. All right. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Mello, and this is the 30 Rows Up podcast. I have Mackenzie from MSKX Media. We're going to talk about Brady, some country music, Super Bowl 55, all things Pats, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Let's get into it. Mackenzie, how you doing? How you been?
Good. How are you?
Living the dream. Can't complain. Can't complain at all.
Just here so I don't get fined.
100%. So how you been? Because of COVID, haven't seen in Nabble.
I know. It's been so long. I think the last time I saw you was at the Trap. And that was November, maybe October.
Yeah. No, that was when I think Jeff was playing outside.
Yeah. It was a little cold, but it was worth it.
100%. Now I guess in Rhode Island, bars are open till 1 a.m. again.
I also heard that bar seating is coming back now. So that's a huge plus.
Yeah. There's one place that I love, and I think I was telling you about it, and I've definitely told Julie about is Laura's Bar and Grill up in Smithfield.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
So it's right near a Hampton Inn and then also a Shell. They just put a Shell gas station in.
I'll have to check it out.
And that's up on Route 7 or Route 5, but I love Laura's Bar and Grill. Like, they followed me on Instagram. Every time I go, I post that I'm there. It's awesome. Like, they have TVs everywhere. I tell all my friends about it. So I can't wait. Bar seating's open and it's safe. So should be good.
I just want to go out. I want to go to the bar and not have to be home like a freaking grandma at 10 p.m. Like, I'm over it.
I hear you. I mean, it's definitely selfish, and I actually just got over COVID.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and so dealing with a little bit of headaches here and there. But thankfully, like, it wasn't too bad, and I hope no one gets it. But and selfishly, I want to be back in the stands next year. I want to be at the 30th row for the Pats. Like, it's selfish, but if we can do it safely, if I have to wear a mask, if I have to get the vaccine, we don't got to get into that, but I will do it so that I can selfishly go back to Pat's games and go back to.
I don't think it's selfish. I think it's hopeful. It's like, I want to get there. So let's freaking get there.
100%. You know? 100%. So just a couple questions, right? Why did you start MSKX Media?
So I started it because I do a lot of writing for a company called New England Country Music, and they're its own entity. They're huge. They've blown up completely since when I first started. And I just have a lot of pieces that I can showcase. And I feel like since I've started working for them, and then since I've started at my job in real life, I have so much more to offer now that I didn't fresh out of college or fresh out of high school, really. So I wanted to have a place where all of my things could be. And if I can help somebody else on a freelance standpoint, that's what I want to do, because I love social media. I love the music industry, the sports industry, the events and hospitality industry. That's something that I want to do. And MSK Media it's my initials, because let's be honest, my name is too freaking long and too freaking hard to say and pronounce, and no one's gonna spell it right.
It is because I cannot pronounce your last name right. Like, I think it's Capsimalis.
Mackenzie Capsimalis, and it's Capsimalis. Just like too many letters, too many syllables. I hate it. It's too much. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'll just name it MSK Media. I wasn't sure if that's like gonna be the final name, but that's just what I'm starting out with. And if it turns into something cool. If not, I'll keep it as is. But yeah, it's kind of just like my place to show my work.
Yeah, no, and it's like it's a personal brand, right? Like, I think with social media, so we could get down a deep road with like social media, but I think at the base level, like, A, there's too much information. Like, people put way too much shit. Now, granted, I started a podcast or started a brand for sports in my life, but like, I don't know, it's 25% maybe of my life, I guess, right? Yeah. No one knows what I did last night. No one knows what, like, and that's how I use social media. I'm not into like 20 different Instagram posts, which or stories, which Brady did, and we'll get into that. But yeah, no, I think social media is like great, and it can be great, right? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Brand, music, things like that. Like, hell yeah. Like, and I haven't joined TikTok. I don't know about you, but I
can't. Oh, I have a TikTok and I am trying to go viral in the worst way. I've been using my dog and it's not working. And if you hear barking or crying, that's because he's upstairs in his crate and he wants to be down here. So just ignore it. But
no worries.
I've been on TikTok. I'm trying. It's actually kind of funny. The reason I wanted to go into social media was from following Gillette Stadium's Instagram. They don't know if people know, they are the main host for Country Fest every year. Yep. And it's this massive country music festival that Kenny Chesney puts on every summer. He ends the summer at Gillette. Mm-hmm. And the first time I went to Country Fest, I remember following Gillette on Instagram and just reliving that night through the pictures and the videos that they posted. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to make someone feel that way, whether it's from my own brand or from the brand that I'm running. Mm-hmm. So from that day back in like 2015, 2016, I don't even remember, probably before that, actually 2014, I was like, that's what I want to do. So that's what I was like set on doing. So shout out Gillette Stadium and your social media manager, because you made me want to pursue a career.
That's awesome. Now it was funny. I like Kenny Chesney. He's, I don't know if he would be my top five, and I think that's probably for a thing for another time. But I've been to Country Fest in 2018, no, 2017 and 2018. And then I was wicked excited for 2020 pre-COVID, because my sister, well, my half sister, she, like, we went to this, we went to the Florida Georgia Line concert with like her side of her family. We rented a party bus and got real, real drunk. And so it was just awesome. And they bought tickets to Kenny Chesney in like a good row and all that. And I didn't end up buying a ticket because there's obviously Friday and Saturday night for Kenny. And I didn't know how it was going to go. And this was all pre-COVID, friend groups, things like that. It might have dissipated. But yeah, no, I can't wait. Hopefully, Kenny comes back this year, because I don't know what I'm going to do without country music, festivals. And I know you're probably
dying. I go to like 15 shows a summer. Maybe not a summer, but like an entire year, a concert season, I go to like 15. So for me to not go to a single concert last year, like, I'm dead inside.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this year to hopefully get there. It might not be Country Fest just because of how big it is and whatever, but I do have tickets. So I am automatically going to this Country Fest if they have it, but I just need to hear live music. I need to have a beer in my hand. I want somebody to bump into me and pour their drink down my back because it was an accident. Like, I just need it.
Has that happened to you before?
Oh my God. The amount of times that somebody has poured a drink on my head, cause they're like swaying in the stands and they just like spills on my head, and you don't get mad. You're just like, yeah, like do it again.
No. Have you with Kenny, have you been in the sand pit? Is it called the
sand pit? The sandbar.
Yeah. Okay. The sandbar.
I went to the sandbar 1 year, and let me tell you something. It is a complete like job. You have to get there super early. Mm-hmm. You have to basically starve and dehydrate yourself because you don't want to leave to go to the bathroom unless you have a shit ton of people to guide your spot. Mm-hmm. I went with me and my best friend, and then we just so happened to have another friend and her boyfriend and a couple of his friends who were going too. So we all met up, but we didn't drink a single drop of water from the time we got to the gate in line to the time the concert ended, like 10 hours later. And it is 80 degrees. It's the end of August. It's nothing but sun.
Yeah.
And you just don't go to the bathroom because you don't want to leave your spot. So by the end of it, the time when Kenny is like ready to sign your autographs and take your pictures, we had to leave because my friend and I were like about to be sick because we were so dehydrated.
Dang.
So we missed the best part of the concert because we were so dehydrated, but it was the best experience I've ever had. It's definitely something you need to mentally prepare yourself for because it's a big task to do.
Now, were you 20? Hold on, hold on. Were you 21?
I think so. I don't remember how old I was. It was a few years ago. I think so.
See, granted, I don't care.
But we didn't drink. That's the thing. No alcohol, no water, no nothing. Oh, it was just
nothing.
Not a single piece of liquid went down our throat. Dang. And it was just a horrible afterward feeling, because then when we got to the car in the parking lot, we chugged about 6 water bottles each and like took a quick nap in the car before we left, and then we felt amazing. But it was just like that initial all day in the sun with no water freaking killed me.
Yeah, you always need this. This is not a free ad, right? But this, like, you need water. People need water for sure.
Yeah, you can get away with it if you're just like in the stands. You can just keep drinking alcohol all day long, but like, you need something.
Yeah, no, for sure. I went. It was 2018. Yeah, it was 2018 because I just like moved into the apartment down at PC, and so it was obviously August. So I'd been in there a few months. And I remember this like vividly, which I don't even know. My mom's probably or will hear this podcast. So we'll sorry, mom. But we went up the night before. I think it was just like whoever lived down there, a bunch of friends. And we went to Rooftop, and Rooftop was the spot during senior year. Rooftop, it was a Friday. So Rooftop Fridays. And we went out, definitely, obviously pre-gamed, went to Rooftop. Drank, and I've spent over $100 there multiple times. I don't know if it was that night, and got back. Yeah, I mean, it was just a crazy night, and was like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a after party at my house. And I don't know, something like everyone was over. I went upstairs and like was sitting on the edge of my bed, like hunched over a bucket. That was the night before. And then I had to get up and drive from Providence to Rehoboth, drop my car off. My parents are meeting me because then we had a family birthday party, and then went there. And my the family birthday party was like 15, 20 minutes from Gillette. So I was like, oh, perfect. Mom and dad, like I was meeting my best friend and his some other friends and his family. And so parents dropped me off, was drinking at the family party, and then just kept it going. And I bought a Kenny Chesney flag in a shirt, which I still have the shirt. Well, I have both. No, I do have the flag. It's just not up like in my room. I don't know. One of my walls, and it's all around. Well, actually not. Yeah. All Patriot stuff is pretty much all around. Shockingly. Right. And so, dropped like probably well over 200, 300 bucks between the two nights, but mainly at the concert. And it was the best concert I've ever been to. Oh. And we were at the last row up in the 300s, the last row. It was insane.
See, it doesn't matter though, wherever you are. That concert is the shit. Like, can I even swear on this? Because I'm gonna. That concert is the shit.
Oh, yeah.
And even if you like country or not, you're gonna have a blast when you go.
Cool. Yeah, no, for sure. I think, because even one of my other cousins, she isn't the biggest country fan, but she went in, did she go in? Yeah, she must have went 2018. And it was just like the wrong day. She went on the Friday. So,
Fridays always suck.
See, 2017, I went on the Friday. I don't know. I didn't notice a difference, but maybe I was just too drunk. I don't know.
No, we could literally have a whole podcast about Country Fest, because I've gone to see Kenny probably like 10 times now.
Damn.
Maybe more. And I could give you all the ins and outs of Country Fest. And I'm telling you, the Friday is not where you want to be.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely have to, because I have been to 2. Hopefully this year's 3. Should have been last year. That it is what it is. But I did want to talk. We've obviously been texting about Brady in the Super Bowl. What was your first initial like reaction after he won? Not even just winning the Super Bowl, but like after winning against Rodgers for the NFC Championship game.
I, like probably any New England fan, was devastated, and I felt so betrayed when Brady left, and I was genuinely sad. Like, I legitimately almost cried over it. I felt empty.
I did.
But then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what, this man has done so much, and if they're not willing to give him what he needs at this point in his career and everything he's done for the organization, then it's time for him to go get it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense why he left. You'd been here for 20 years. It's like, why would you leave now at the end of your career? But whatever, that was besides the point. So when
I said football is a business.
It is. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And it's not always about how close you are with your GM or your coach.
Yeah.
But when I saw that he was like off to a rocky start, I was kind of like, ha, yes, I knew he would suck somewhere else. But then he started getting better and he started like settling in. And I'm like, oh shit, like Brady's back.
Yeah.
So then when I saw that he was going to the playoffs, I'm like, all right, I don't want him to get to the playoffs and then lose. Like if he's going to go, I want him to go all the freaking way. So I really wasn't worried when he played Drew Brees. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I know I felt horrible when it was Brees's last game, but
yeah,
Brees is an amazing quarterback, but Brady had something to prove and Brees really didn't. So I knew Brady was going to show out.
Yeah, no. And I think too, right. Like with Brees, one of my best friends, he's a Saints fan and he's a Drew Brees like stan. And he, especially this year, was like, he can't throw. Like his shoulder's just shot. And in years past, me and him have like argued of like, oh, who's better, Brady or Brees? And this was like pre-2014. And like now he used to say like, oh, no, not Brady. Like, but now he's like, no, Brady's the GOAT. And I think for this year too, for me, I was devastated. I teared a little bit. I was like, I remember I got a text from, I was in a meeting, got a text, looked down, and like for the rest of the meeting, I was just like out of it. I did like barely paid attention.
A funeral. Like we had a funeral.
It was tough. It was, and now, or more so during the season, like during the regular season, it's Patriots all the way. Like, yeah, would I watch Brady's games? Of course. But there was also maybe ignorance. I thought the Patriots could make the playoffs. And as the season progressed, I was like, you know what? Okay. It's as long as the Patriots are out of the playoffs, I'm full Brady. Like I have a,
I was going to ask you about that shirt.
I mean, it's awesome. Like this is the coolest one. That's from the Kentucky Derby. He's what? I don't know. 10 playing Little League. It's just awesome. And that it's funny. I have the same one in a Belichick style. But yeah, I wore this for like every game. I wore my Patriots Tom Brady jersey because that's like the only one I will wear. I will be honest, I might get a Tom Brady Bucks jersey just to like hang or frame because he did win. Like I mean words can't describe, like I'm excited for him or I'm happy for him. But as soon as he won, and even during the playoffs, like, he kept winning. He beat Brees.
Aaron Rodgers, I know that's what you asked me about.
Yeah.
I just don't know enough or I don't watch enough sports talk, but why Aaron Rodgers is even in the debate of the greatest quarterback ever and comparing against Tom Brady, it's like, where the fuck do you get off with that? Who is Aaron Rodgers? He has one Super Bowl.
He does. One,
and he hasn't been back there in 10 years. It's like, what have you done? Yeah, okay, exactly. You make a couple great throws and a couple great touchdown passes. But, like, other than that, what does he do? I feel like he's always blaming his teammates. He's never taking accountability for what he makes mistakes on. And he's always just, like, kind of playing the poor me, we don't have a winning team. It's like, nobody, you're the leader. You make them a winning team.
Yeah.
And I just, debate blows my mind. And I'm so glad that he freaking beat him because it's just, it's not going to silence the discussion, but it did for that point in time.
Yeah.
It was just like, at this point, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Patriots fan and I had Tom Brady for 20 years, but like this quarterback
Tom Brady.
Is the greatest quarterback to ever play and probably will ever play this sport. No one can ever do what he's done. And then we'll probably not even be alive by the time that could possibly happen.
True. I know there's like, and we're definitely going down a couple different like paths, but Mahomes, like the path that Brady had to take to win the Super Bowl, like he had to go on the road for every game except the Super Bowl, and then he played against Drew Brees, obviously like not really, but you know what I'm saying, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and then Mahomes, who like everyone's comparing Mahomes to Brady. Oh, this is the baby goat. It's like
not no, no, no. Mahomes. Brady is in a completely different division. He has not played these teams really ever.
Never.
And if he did, it's because it was like a one-off on the schedule. He never has played these teams before, and he's still dominating.
Yep. And now in the playoffs, Brady has the third most wins against NFC teams because he has six Super Bowl wins. And then this year he has three. So he has nine NFC wins. And I think that's like third most all time, which is insane. It's just insane. And he has tied Rodgers and Brees for the most NFC championship wins. Like,
and he's only had one. This year. This is his first year.
He's immortal. It's insane. But I more so after beating Rodgers, I was like, Belichick, you should have given him everything he ever wanted, especially after Super Bowl 52, where he threw for 500 yards, no picks. He was MVP that year. He deserved everything he ever wanted.
Now I'm
riled up and I'm mad because
I'm pissed because all he needed was a wide receiver. He's never had a solid wide receiver, minus like the Randy Moss era back in the freaking day. But like recently, within like the last 10-ish years, maybe a little less, he has not had a consistent receiver who has been with him for more than like 2 years, and that's not been hurt. Always had somebody like not there. Edelman's, I don't even consider him a wide receiver. He does literally everything, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah, he's awesome too, but you can't forget about Edelman. But no, I hear you. Like, and Edelman has been, it's tough. He's a slot receiver, but he's been like their number one.
Yeah.
But they didn't have, and they brought in Brandon Cooks in 2017.
He's had like, good one-offs. Like, yeah, he has those good, like, one wide receivers, but then they're gone the next year.
Exactly. Getting me all worked up because Brady should still be here. I'm salty about that.
Never been about the money for him. He's never wanted money. He's always taken pay cuts to make sure that they can give the team more assets. He's always been about that. So you know he's not sitting there saying, I deserve more money, which he freaking does, but like
he wants respect. Like he wants all like to be built around, and you know, kind of going a little back, like Belichick did, but that was 14 years ago. In 06, they had no receivers. The next year they brought in Randy Moss, Stallworth, Welker, like they put pieces around him, but they had an old defense and Super Bowl not to be named. I cried like a baby at 10 years old.
No.
But you know, yes, just Brady should still be here and Belichick should still be here together winning.
I will say though, this might be kind of like an unpopular opinion. If Brady was still with the Pats, they would not have gone to the Super Bowl this year.
No. I think
would have made first round and then lost first round.
Yeah. Any rational fan, and I'm not rational most of the time, I'll be honest about that. It would have been the same thing as last year. Divisional round, like they sputtered out at the end of the year. Not even divisional, wild card. And get your, you know, can't score points. Ridiculous. But I don't know. We'll never know now. Brady's done it all. He's seven wins. They're running it back. They're running it back. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. So
dude is hungry for more, and he's going to get more as long as he has the good team that he needs. And even if he has a decent team, I think he'll still get pretty far than what people will think he'll get.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if this is true, but a report that Mike Evans is going to take less money.
He's nasty.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson wants to go play there. I mean, J.J. Watt just got released. Honestly, would it shock? I want him in New England. I want J.J. Watt in New England, but would it shock me if he went to Tampa? Glass. No.
I honestly, like, the Bucks deserve the win 100%, but a lot of their team are experienced players, and majority of their top producers, Tom, Gronk, they've been in Super Bowls and they've won Super Bowls. It's like, then you have Fournette. They've all played before. This isn't like a team who has no experience. Whereas before those players were there, the Bucks have zero experience. They just play games and that's it. So I think that helps, but like they could be dangerous next year.
Yeah. I mean, because their division, Drew Brees is out most likely. So you have Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater. I'm blanking on the other, but like, yeah, they might or should win the division. And it'll be more infuriating if the Patriots don't, like, if Belichick doesn't figure it out. Because I'm sorry, we obviously, like, younger, we're spoiled. I don't want to see losing for 20 years straight. Like, my cousin, one of my cousins is older, and I hang out with him a lot. And he remembers vividly the 90s where games were blacked out. And he's like, you know, like now he's even spoiled. He's like, the last 20 years, I've seen nothing but greatness. I don't want to go back. We are a city built on championships. You know, most of the Celtics were back in the day, but like they've been relevant. They're doing okay this year. And like the Bruins are, you know, overtime champs this year. They've been winning so much in overtime, but we're back to the point of we're a fucking city of champions. For the last 20 years, I don't want that to end. No one wants a good thing to end.
Own the Lombardi Trophy.
It should probably have Brady's name.
Tom Brady owns it, but like the Patriots, that's kind of like our second logo.
Yeah.
The Lombardi Trophy, and then Boston just has all the other titles. But like,
oh yeah.
It's just, it's been so awesome to be a Boston sports fan, but then at the same time, with that comes the heartbreak of losing your favorite and best athletes. Like, I didn't expect Brady to leave us. I thought he would retire with the Pats, and that would be my heartbreak. But I've been so happy to see him still kick ass somewhere else because he is amazing. I hope when I'm 43 that I can even remotely throw my dog's tennis ball 5 yards, let alone a football with mile per hour speed behind it and that kind of accuracy. Like, no, he's freaking Benjamin Button. He ages backwards.
Well, you gotta get on that TB12 method.
It's like a cult, I think.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's getting global, but like,
it's a cult.
It's a little weird. There's things like I listen to sports radio, and Alex Guerrero is kind of a snake salesman. Like, it's a little weird. Would I go to TB12? Probably to check it out if I wanted to afford it or had the money to afford it. Yeah, I probably would. But with like avocado ice cream and then avocado tequila, I guess that's what Brady was drinking. You obviously saw the
my boy, I was so proud of him.
So there's reports that he wasn't drunk, but no. I'm gonna say in my head, I'm keeping it. He was definitely drunk. Definitely.
I think what also played a part is he's literally in 80 degree sunshine all day. Yep. Whereas in New England, it's fucking 20 degrees for the Pats parades. Yep. The last Pats parade was 60 in February, which was unheard of. Awesome. It was amazing. But like, you're not baking in the sun, dehydrating. And he was on a legitimate boat. So he was probably super, not seasick, but couldn't get his
sea legs.
Sea legs. So then he's drinking, then he's dehydrated. Of course he's going to be freaking walking side to side. He deserves to.
Well, for sure. And right, like, his boat is $2 million. Like, it's an insane boat.
Some change.
And then, like, oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, he's tossing the Lombardi. There's other videos that other people were throwing, like, the Lombardi. And it's like, he has too many. He's like, I don't care about this one. Let's get another one.
He's like, I got 6 more where that came from.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, he wants to run it back. So what's 7? Let's get 8. I think it's annoying to me. It's a little annoying too, because I think he deserves it, but he wish that was us. I didn't have as much fun, this is great. I'm happy for him. It was awesome to see, because he's usually not like that. But I was a little like hurt. It's like an ex-girlfriend, like,
yeah. It's like, yeah, that could be us in Boston right now, freezing our ass off, but it's fine.
Yeah. So speaking of drunk on a boat, have you had any like not crazy stories, but have you been drunk on a boat? Let's put it that way. And do you have any stories that you could probably tell to the public?
I mean, I will say I don't recommend getting drunk on a boat. I get seasick kind of easily if we're just kind of rocking. If we're moving, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But being somewhat seasick and then drunk on a boat is just not a good recipe. But I went actually this past summer, and all you COVID police coming after me, hush your mouth. We went on a boat. It was Julie was there. So my best friend, my other best friend was there. And then a bunch of other people that we knew, like her boyfriend's friends. We went on this boat in the Cape, and it was a pontoon boat. So this thing is just really wide, not all that glamorous, but it had a bar, a bathroom, and a boat speaker. And that's all we needed.
Wow. It had a bar. Like, you had a bartender?
Yeah, we had a bartender. We could rent it. It was like through some company. So we all pitched in and rented it. And we had the best time ever. We had gone to the beach before. Of course, we slammed drinks at the beach.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, no one's judging.
And, you know, started out so great. And then I'm not going to tell the story because it's not my story. It's one of my friend's stories, and I don't want to probably defame her. But it started out great, then turned to shit real quick once the boat ride started to end and the liquor starts to really hit.
Yep.
We had people throwing up. We had people walking sideways. But overall, it was just the best to just have, like, the wind in your hair and you're freaking blacked out on a boat. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, too, I get vertigo. So, like, I don't get, like, I won't puke on a boat. I never have. But, like, the next day or even, like, later that day, like, I'm all, like, wobbly. And so, like, that really sucks. But I guess there's, like, Dramamine or something.
I took Bonine before, and it helped. Mm. I also forgot I was in Aruba, and I went on a booze cruise with my roommates.
Damn.
I was sick for, like, a day after because the boat was a legitimate pirate ship. Like, it looked like a pirate ship. And it was open bar. Like, the bar was paid for in your ticket. Open bar. They just are feeding you nonstop. They had a rope swing. You jumped off the boat into the ocean. Like, this crystal clear ocean. And our bartender took a liking towards me and my roommates because I had a Red Sox hat on. And apparently he loved Xander Bogaerts.
Who's from Aruba.
So he was like, oh, my God. Bogaerts, that's my boy. And I was like, yeah, he's our boy. And he just kept filling us up all freaking night. And it was so much fun. But when I got off the boat, I couldn't walk because the boat rocking was, like, messing me up. But it was so much fun.
Ah, that's awesome. Yeah, I the funnest time I've ever had on a boat was it was twice. I went to Miami. Well, I went to Fort Lauderdale for spring break 2019. And we rented 2 days of boats down in Miami. And that was awesome. I went to Miami for Super Bowl 54. And, like, I love Miami. I would go every single year. Like, no doubt about it.
I've never been to Miami.
It's expensive. Like, you definitely have to, like, you got to bring some cash. You got to, like, but it's just awesome. For 2019 spring break, we rented a boat. And it was a double-decker pontoon.
So the
second floor had a slide. So that was cool. That was like 6 to 8 hours. That wasn't too bad. But then we were like, it was a long day. Oh, yeah. And that vacation, I only drank Bud Light Limes for some reason. I was big.
They're good, but like.
Well, yeah. And it was more like I'm in Miami, Limes. I don't know, but they were just flowing. They were flowing all day. And so did that. That was fine. Like, that day wasn't too rough, or not rough, but just, like, crazy. And then we rented, maybe a couple days later, we rented a boat, and it was, I don't even know the type, but it was like, you can wakeboard behind it.
Yeah.
It had like 13 speakers. Our driver was French. He barely, like, spoke English, but he, like, was jamming out to all our music. And that, I forgot how long that was, but we got up to this private island, and there was already a few boats there, like, families.
Yeah.
And we just, like, just booze all day. And I have these Ray-Bans, and I had Crokies, and they snapped. The Crokies, or not even the Crokies snapped, but the band that goes over your ear snapped. And I didn't realize until the next day. And then also, I dropped them to the bottom of the ocean, like 5 feet, and didn't realize that they were so scratched. Like the lens.
You got them back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just picked them up. Like, I picked them up, and then, like, I didn't realize, because I definitely blacked out. Didn't realize till the next day that they were so scratched. Like, I had to get just a new pair. It was too much money.
Yeah, you should have left them there.
Yeah, I probably should have, but I like the Crokies. Like, it, I don't know, it matched the frame. Red Crokies, red frame. And that was a, whew, that was a time. Like, I don't know. We, like, just boozed in the sun for 8 hours. Like, I had a Hawaiian shirt. Hawaiian shirt was open. Like, visor, like, the full thing. Like, it was awesome. But you also, in a way, you do have to be responsible. But I don't know. If, like, I think everyone should have one of those drunk stories on a boat. Because if you've never experienced that, it's like, you should have been there. But no, everyone has to do it at least once.
You should have been there.
Exactly. Should have been there. So I don't blame Brady at all. I really don't.
He had himself a day. Deserved day.
He did. He's amazing. I love him.
He's the goat. End of discussion.
Yeah. Oh, man. So kind of enough about, like, Pats and Brady and all that. Kind of want to move on to country music. And we have a top 10 of country artists who's kind of been in the news lately. For not the right reasons. Morgan Wallen or Waylon. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right.
Wallen, I think.
Okay. And so he dropped a double album, what, 2 or 3 months ago?
January 8th on my birthday.
Oh, okay. So it was pretty damn. Almost that's 2 months a great ago. Birthday present.
I know.
That is pretty sick. So a little over a month ago. And then he made the news because he said something he shouldn't have said that, like, never. Shouldn't have said it, and he came out with an apology or a video, what, this week?
Two days ago.
Yeah, and so, like, he, you know, he definitely, like, apologized. He knows he shouldn't have done it. He, you know, I think people can change. I think nowadays, like, we're too quick to just shut people off or cancel.
The cancel culture is absolutely ridiculous, and I really do love Morgan Wallen. Like, I've loved him since his first album dropped. And he's been out of the spotlight for a very long time. He hasn't put out an album since his first one, but I don't know. I'm kind of over him apologizing. Like, he apologized for his SNL stunt when he was making out with college girls pre-hype.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And they canceled him. They're like, no, we don't want you on the show for the safety of our staff and whatever. And we don't want to represent someone like that. Yeah. So then he apologized and he's like, I take full responsibility. I don't blame them. I appreciate them standing up for what they believe in. And they did end up putting him back on the show like a month later. Mm-hmm. But then now something like this happens, which
we don't have to get into about it.
I mean, I really don't think he deserved to be canceled the way that he did for what went down. but then now he's putting out a public statement again. And it's like, yes, you should be apologizing, but, like, how many times are you going to apologize before you just get your shit together and actually change?
Exactly. Like, words mean only so much. Yes. Like, for the apology, right? The apology part. Where I totally get his record label is like, no. We're not associating ourselves with what you did, with who you might be. Totally get that. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, take the action and let's move on. Like, I think there's a fine line between, like, separating especially athletes, musicians, like, for their work and then who they might be as a person could be totally two different things. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll be straight up. I still listen to R. Kelly Ignition remix. I always will.
Of course. But
is he a terrible person? Yep. Yeah, he is. Are there NFL players who are terrible people who still perform? Like, yes, yep, Antonio Brown, not the greatest person.
No.
But it's a separation of amazing talent Okay. Or so like can make an ex not an excuse, I guess it is an excuse, but like you can make
They
that
have to
like
put in the work to shine. Like, yes, your
yeah.
talents speak for themselves, but like that's not going to get you anywhere if you're a shit human being. And in
100%.
some cases, like the NFL, people have literally been arrested for domestic violence and they still get to play and they still get paid. So it's
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
in some light, it does need to kind of be rectified. But like, Morgan wasn't, he's fucked up a lot. He has. He's still in the college mentality. And like, you have a son, you don't see him, you're
I
almost
didn't know
30.
he had a son, which is insane. I didn't
Like,
find that out until that apology video.
yeah, no, he's had the son. The son's almost one. I followed the baby mama for all the tea. But she, the baby was born over the summer
Okay.
and it was all hush hush. Like he didn't say a word about it, didn't want to bring it up. But then she started blowing the shit up.
Ooh.
So, like, I mean, at what point are you going to be like, okay, like I'm a shithead. I need to get my life together
Yeah.
and start changing
Yeah,
instead of
no,
just
for sure.
following.
I mean, people can always change. I feel like even myself, I've changed in certain aspects, like within the last 4 months, because, and not to go too deep down it, but like people, you should always have to, not have to, but like you should want to change. You should want to be a better person, or, you know, get into different things and whatever. Like, but with Morgan, it's like, all right, buddy, figure it the fuck out.
Pattern.
Like, yeah, figure it the fuck out. Never do what you did again. Learn from it, change. Let's move on. So we will move on. We're gonna do a top 10 of that double album. I think there's what, 31, 33 songs?
So there's 33 with the two bone or three bonus that he put out. So I think the first album was 30, and then the three bonus make it 33.
Cool. Yeah, no, I love it. I know obviously some songs definitely came out even 2019, I think. Not
Yeah.
this bar, but Heartless. Heartless was like a Diplo and
Yeah,
remix
there was a
thing.
lot that he released to the radio in
Seven
20.
Summers, when was that?
That was
September?
recent. That was 2020. Then he put out like More Than My Hometown,
Yeah.
This Bar, the Cover Me Up cover.
Okay.
There was a few on there that he had released like a year and a half prior, which is good because he had no music out, but
Yeah,
the fact
exactly.
that he put out a double album, I really appreciate because if you go that long without music and then you have already like six singles on the radio and you then give us another seven, which is a normal album typically,
Yeah.
it's like that's ass. I don't want seven new songs. I want 27 new songs, you
Yep.
know?
100%.
So I
So how do
appreciate
you,
that.
yeah. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to go, I think we should do 10 to 1. You
Yeah.
get like your number 10, I'll give mine. Now, this may not be able to get uploaded to YouTube, or it might get taken down. Do you
Yeah.
want to play like a little snippet of the song, or what do you want to do?
I feel like we don't have to play it if
Or people
for
can
time,
go
or
listen
maybe
to
like
those
top
songs.
three we'll play
Yeah.
music.
Okay. I agree with that. Maybe should have talked about that before the show, but you know what? Fuck it. I don't
We're
care.
winging it.
All right, cool. So what is your number 10?
All right. So before I even start, I had a really hard time picking because I genuinely love this album and I did the math. There's only nine out of the 23 that I just won't listen to. I'll skip it, which comes
Oh,
out to
yeah.
like
Okay.
27%. So I only dislike 27% of this album, which makes picking a top 10 very freaking hard. But my number 10 is Your Bartender. And I chose that because it's not like super country. It kind of gives me like John Mayer vibes a little bit with the guitar and the beat. But I just thought it was a cool kind of take on a breakup, like Don't Leave Me song that I don't think a lot of artists have done before. So I really liked I guess the story of the song. But other than that, I think it's super catchy and I just like listening to it.
Yeah. No, to be honest, I'm kind of, I, the one lyric is like, I would, I could be, this could be wrong, but like pouring you another drink to like stay or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good song. That is not in my top 10. I feel like my top 10 is like,
We're gonna have different ones, I think.
I don't know. I looked at it like, I'll say like my top three were instant, like click. these are the songs that I always play as soon as I put the album on. And then the other ones, it's a little, it depends. I think it all, it depends the mood, but my number 10 is More Than My Hometown. I think
that's a good one.
Like hometown vibes and all of that. So I was
like that one.
That had to be in my top 10 for sure.
All right. My number 9 is Whiskey My Way. And this song is just a bop. It's been all over TikTok. People are blowing it up. But before it got its way to TikTok, I just started listening to it. And I was like, damn, like this is another cool take on a breakup song. It's not like, when she left me, when, like super slow and whatever. It kind of has like that slow, catchy beat that's like, tequila didn't do it. Beer didn't do it. So another person didn't do it. So I guess whiskey's my only way that I'm going to be able to get over you. I don't know. I feel
like this album had a lot more than, and maybe it's like recency bias, but like this album feels like it had more breakup or just relationship songs than he's had in the past. Mm-hmm. I think his previous album, I know it was like 2019 ish. That was really good. I liked that a lot.
I forgot think it the name was like 2018.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. It was his like breakout album.
Yes. Yeah. That, because before that album, he was on like Up Down with Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Florida Georgia Line has shifted.
I haven't listened to their new album yet. I know it just came out.
One song on that album is not good. It is.
We will do a review of that one.
I don't even know if we can. I don't even know if I can get into it. cool. All right. My number 9 is one of the bonus songs. It's Band-Aid on a Bullet Hole.
Okay.
And I really like, I don't know, not a big piano guy, but for some reason I like it. And it's very much like the name itself, you just can't like fix certain things. I think with like a bullet hole, obviously it's deep, you know, depending on the relationship or breakup, it's your relationship should be deep, but like the breakup can be even deeper and you just can't heal it. So I'm gonna go with that. I like how it's like slow and soft, and I don't know, I just fuck with it.
I think our lists are gonna be really different, so
I do too.
My number 8 is Only Thing That's Gone with Chris Stapleton.
Mm-hmm.
I have become a Chris Stapleton fan over the last few months with his new stuff that he's been putting out. It's still the very much the same sound that Chris Stapleton does, but I thought that Chris Stapleton's voice and Morgan Wallen's voice on this track sounded so good together. And I was like, yes, why haven't they done this before?
Mm.
But I just feel like when that chorus hits, it's kind of like, even if you're not going through something, you're like, oh shit, I'm like, I'm kind of in my feels a little bit here.
Yeah.
Because they just play it off so well with how their voices go together that it's like, huh, they must have been going through something.
Yeah. Where Stapleton, his voice is incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, and I could be wrong, but with like Tennessee Whiskey, I don't know if that was a song previous to him or that was like his number, like his song. But Tennessee Whiskey is like,
he's a huge songwriter for a lot of people. So I think he writes a lot of his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. I'm not a huge, like, he's very kind of twangy to me. And I'm not a huge twang person for country, which I know everybody's like, oh, that's main country. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, quiet, but I'll be straight up, I am mainstream country. Yeah. I like Muscaline Brothers, but and they're not too famous, but I don't know, I'm a mainstream country guy, I'll be straight up with that.
Yeah, I don't like the twang, I don't like the banjo, I don't like the and I know country is typically sad, like, oh, my girlfriend left me, my wife lost her job, and my dog died, like I know,
but
it's not always like that.
Yeah.
That song is my number 8 for sure.
Cool. Number 8, I'm going Outlaw.
That's a good one too.
And Outlaw, I totally am blanking and I didn't write down why. I totally blanked on that one. That one I did not write down why I chose that.
But I had that on my like potential list ideas, and I think it's because the chorus is kind of catchy.
Yeah.
But the more I listen to it, the more I'm like, you know, I don't really want to listen to this whole thing. But it definitely is a good one. And he has a feature, and I think his name is Ben, maybe. I forget who the feature is.
I should know it as it's in my top 10, but.
Yeah. Let me see what his name was.
Oh, yeah. Ben Burgess.
Ben Burgess.
Yeah.
So they go good together.
I'm going to play real quick because I put in my top 10. I just totally forgot what it's like, how it sounded. Oh, all right. Yeah. I know exactly.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, I liked that guitar coming like straight up, straight off. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this is a great song. I don't know. It's like this. I feel with my top 10, the back half or this part was like very low, like not slow. Yeah. But yeah, a little slow and like just chill.
So yeah, a lot of his songs on this album were a lot like slower and kind of moody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so my number 7 is Me on Whiskey. He has a lot of whiskey songs on here, but.
He does.
This was I had Me and Whiskey and Whiskeyed My Way switched at first. So Whiskeyed My Way was at number 7. But then the more I listened to Me on Whiskey, I was like, oh, like, this is kind of like steamy and like kind of like a little sexy for Morgan Wallen. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And it just, I don't know. I was like, I'm digging this sound. I love it. I love where he's going. And that's why I had to move it.
Nice. So that you said was going to be number 9, and now it's number 7.
Yeah.
I like that. I switched. Yeah. Up in a little bit of like 4 through 6, it was interchangeable in a way.
Oh, that was so hard.
But yeah, I think four through six, like I think of every top 10, I feel is tough because it's, you're almost there. But you're not like on the back half. You're just obviously in the middle. Yeah. My number 7 kind of goes back to boats. It is Need a Boat. And that is just like me and my friends. Obviously, you know, like McKenna, Mikey.
Yeah.
We just like every time we would go to the beach, it'd be like, you know, I want to be on that boat right out there fishing, drinking. And so Need a Boat. Honestly, any boat country, like there's so many boat country songs. Yeah. We could probably do a top 10 of them or top 5. And this would probably be there. So that's my number 7. What's your number 6?
Oh, all right. So number from 6 and down was really, really hard. I changed them probably like 4 times. So my number 6 is Living the Dream. And that was the first song that I obsessed over that he teased off this new album. So it wasn't any of the ones that were already on the radio. He released 3 songs as like a teaser, and this was one of them. Mm. And the second I heard it, and I was like, yes, like if this is what the album's gonna be, then this is what I want.
Yeah.
And I saw him post about it. I follow him on Instagram, and he posted on a story, and he was like, I was very skeptical to put like even bring this song to life because it is such a truthful song about how I feel. And if you don't know the song, it's literally about him saying that he doesn't want to be doing what he's doing all the time because he's always in the spotlight. He's always getting drunk. He's always traveling. And sometimes it doesn't mean anything. So whereas some people see it as like, oh, you're living the dream. He's like, no, I'm really not.
Exactly.
So I just love that like raw and truthfulness behind songs. And you can really tell, especially with how he's been in the spotlight for negative things lately, that this song really is true.
It's actually in my top 10. It's a little higher. I like it. I like it because it's truthful. And then also it's funny. I don't know. Anytime someone's like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, yeah, living the dream.
Living the dream.
And in a way, like, I think that's a stock answer, but to a certain extent, like I'm living life. It is what it is. So living the dream is definitely on my top 10, a little higher, but yeah, no, I like the truthfulness of it for sure. My number 6 is Country Ass Shit. It brings me back to a little bit of high school, like just me and my 2 best friends. We would just like, we would honestly just drive around or like we'd fish or I never drank beer in high school, but like Fireball and and all of that and just like country ass shit and what we want it to be, because obviously Rhode Island especially is not, there's land, but there's not like down south land. Like you can't, you can mud, you can do all that. And so yeah, so country ass shit is right at number six, because it just brings me back to like the memories of high school, of what we wanted. Mm-hmm. And now, yeah, still kind of want some of that for sure.
All right, top five. So yeah,
getting close.
Number five is one that you had, but I put it higher. Okay. My top five is Band-Aid on a Bullet Hole, because I am such a sucker for a stripped down version of a song, and I love the piano and I love the voice that kind of like echoes, you know. Mm-hmm. And that song, I don't know, it just like the second I heard Morgan's voice like cut through, I was like, oh my god, I have goosebumps, like holy shit. This song is so freaking good. And then the more I listened to it, and I was like, oh my god, like this one hurts too. And it's like, even if you're not going through something, you're like, damn, yeah, like this hits me.
Or you remember, like, I don't know, I think songs too, like you remember certain times and it's like, okay, like
yeah,
you know, and whether that's right or wrong, it is what it is. But yeah, definitely like this song hits right in the feels, whether you're, I agree, whether you're going through something or not, it's like, damn, like this song hits.
And it's like, this one doesn't necessarily have to be about a breakup. Mm-hmm. This could be like about you losing somebody or you lost a job. It's like time is the only thing that really heals it. And I'm so freaking cliche by saying that, but like, it is true. For something that feels as deep as a bullet hole, a little Band-Aid's not going to fix it. It's like, I got to go through my shit and it will heal in time.
100%. So my top five, honestly, my top five is a little, I thought it was, I don't know, I think just more straight up like what I play as soon as the album comes on, like in my car, put in the, you know, Apple Car and all that. But Neon Eyes, like he's leaving, he's going to be leaving her or leaving you with like, yeah, Neon Eyes. And obviously it's the sound of it, the beat is awesome. Yeah, I just like that's it. And obviously awesome. Neon Eyes is a club or like a, you know, a bar, and just, yeah, like that's awesome. That's the dream, right?
I do like that song. It did not make my list though, which was very hard for me to choose.
Now, we didn't bring this up at number 10, but you had some honorable mentions.
I had, okay, I do have honorable mentions. Should we wait?
We will wait, but that's like a participation trophy. So we'll wait, but it's a little bit of a participation trophy.
Yeah.
So
I have a few.
So yeah, so my number five is Neon Eyes, but what is your number four? I wonder if we'll get one that, I don't know. I don't know if we'll get one maybe. That matches.
I think we might. I don't know. It's either your, the one that I think we're going to get is going to be your next one, or it's going to be both of our same number.
Okay.
But my number four is Warning. And and
not on my list.
So many people are like, this is not country. Why is this on a country album? I'm like, okay, scratch that noise. This kind of shows like Morgan's versatility a little bit. Mm. Like he can do the country ass shit sound. He can do the Band-Aid on a Bullet Hole sound. And then now he can do Warning. It's kind of poppy, kind of like R&B a little bit, mm-hmm. kind of like Neon Eyes. It's not quite like super pop. But I was just, the second I heard it, I was like, this beat, the lyrics, done. Sign me up.
Top four. Yeah, it's in the top five. So it's gotta be good. I think also too, with like within anything, especially music, you have to be versatile you have to be agile, because mm-hmm. if you stick to like, and that's if it depends. That's if you really want to be big, because even like a podcast, like you stick to one thing, you're in a sandbox, you're in your own box, and that can be good. But if you want to be bigger than what you are, you have to like, you have to appeal to the masses, where Morgan Wallen is very mainstream. He is. And so having the pop and a lot of country, mainstream country, is pop country. Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's but radio country is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. So Warning actually did not even crack my top 10. But I don't know. Maybe I'm blanking on it as well. But my number four is Wondering About the Wind.
Ah!
And
song!
And it's like, it's about memories. It's, I just, yeah, it's like bringing back memories and just all of that and wondering about the wind is fucking.
I'm kind of kicking myself in the ass for not putting this on my list at all, because that song is so amazing. It really is. And I do listen to it every time I put the album on. So,
well, it's funny that both our number fours did not even cross our top 10s. So that is pretty fun.
I did think about it though. It was a contender.
Mm.
All right, top three.
Damn, this is all right. Yeah, we'll play a little snippet of the top three. But what cracks that list?
All right, I think we might get this one the same. If not, then our three and two are switched.
Okay.
I put 865 as my number three.
Okay.
And I chose it just because of the relatability, the catchiness. Like I found myself like kind of grooving to it the first time I heard it. And then not only can you just like kind of vibe to the song, you can freaking scream it if you want.
Oh, yeah.
When you're drunk and you're like, yes. So I really do like that song. I think it's really cool. I think it's a different take on, again, another like, hey, I want to come see you, even though we're not together. Yep. It's kind of like a booty call, but kind of not. I dig it.
So I'm not going to play it just yet. It is in my top three.
Your three.
It is not number three. Number three is This Bar. And I mean, is it mainstream? Yep. Am I a mainstream kind of guy? Yep. Or country music? Yep, I am. Like, I remember being 20, like turning 21.
The first time I heard this song, I immediately thought of Hot Club. Shout out to Hot Club in Providence, Rhode Island. I love you so much.
It's awesome.
Need a lighter.
And it's, yeah.
That's a great song.
So wait, why does it bring back memories of Hot Club?
I feel like Hot Club was really the first bar that I went to when I was able to go to bars, and everybody had been talking about how Hot Club is such a great place to be. And I was like, why? Like, they don't play like club music. You don't dance. It's just there. Like, you just stand there. And then when I got there, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. You literally are just, and this again is probably a towny thing for us small town people, but like when you go to that bar, you're going to see at least five people you know.
Which so I don't like that.
Mind it sometimes, because you're just standing there, you're shooting the shit, they buy you around, you buy them around, and you literally, you walk around the horseshoe that is Hot Club, and the more you walk, the more people you see. So it's like, gives you something to do. You're not just to your friend group. You can kind of mesh with other people, and it's just a good atmosphere in the summer. It's electric on the water.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I am Hottie's hype man. I love Hottie.
You're staying for Hot Club.
I'm a Hottie Thottie. I said it.
Jesus Christ.
But like that, I don't know. That song just brought me back to Hottie.
Real quick about Hot Club. I went, I don't know, obviously pre-COVID, but it was like packed. And I forgot who I was with, and was with this friend group, and then some other kids that I knew from East Providence that I'm cool with, and then saw kids from middle school, from elementary school. And I was like, holy shit. Saw like my neighbors, cousins, girlfriend, like it was insane. I saw everybody, and I was like, you know, shooting the shit 100%. But then at least with Hot Club, I feel I see like just way too many people, and I don't know, I don't like that. Like, if I want to keep in touch with you, you know, I'll keep in touch with you. But it is, once in a while, it is nice to say shoot the shit and buy a drink, like, hey, how you been? That's about
for
it.
You, it's more towny for you because you grew up for over sure, there. Right, it's not yeah. as towny for me because I didn't grow up in Rhode Island or near Providence. I mean, I'm yep. close, but I live in Cowtown. So it's when yeah. we go to Providence, it's like, I don't see.
It's an experience for you yeah. guys to go to Providence for sure. Cool. What is your number two?
My number two is Wasted on You. And again, this is not really a country song, some will say, because of the beat. But let me tell you something. It's a bop, and you're going to sing it when you're drunk with your buddies, and you're all going to be arm in arm and swaying back and forth. And when this gets played at a concert, you're going to be screaming it. Yeah. Mark right. my words, it will be your favorite song.
100%. Let me play it a little bit.
Yeah, play the chorus.
So it starts off slow.
But then it hits ya. Wait. You can fast forward to the chorus. Yeah, right there.
No, it is good. It... But I would disagree that I'm gonna be at a country concert hammered probably. I'll be singing it. I don't know if I'll be swaying like. I don't know.
You might.
All right. Well,
depending on what, maybe your buddy's going through a breakup and he's like, I'm wasted on her, and he's feeling himself listening to that, and you'll be like, yeah, man. I'm telling you.
Well, we'll have to test that. Cool. So my number two, it was your number six, and it's Living the Dream. And I think it's a little catchy, and it's just the truth. As we said, it's the truthfulness of it. I love it. And that's why it's my number two. So play a little bit of it. And the beat, like, I don't know. He goes right into it. Yeah. Like, when I'm driving, it's just like.
Yeah, and, you bop your head.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just like, damn. Like, mom doesn't pray for my success anymore. She prays for, like, I forgot what it said. But, yeah.
Because he made it.
And, but it prays for, like, the, yeah.
But she prays for him as a person to be a better person.
Exactly. And I feel like I'd be in like a music, like this song is a music video driving yeah. song.
100%.
Oh, yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah. No, Living the Dream is like, he's made it, but it's not as like hyped up as it really is. Like, we obviously see on social media. Social media is a small part of like real life, obviously. Yeah. But that song is just great. So that's my number two. Now, what is your number one?
All right. So originally, Living the Dream was my number one. And then the album got released and more songs just started to take over for me. So I thought I had this in the bag, and I didn't. But number one, once I realized that this song really took the top spot for me, it was easy. I was like, this is my number one. A lot of people probably won't get why, but I chose Sand in My Boots, but the mm-hmm. Dangerous Sessions version, where it was released as one of the bonus tracks.
Okay. Yep.
And this, like I said, I'm just a sucker for a ballad. I love that shit. And especially when someone who's like rough and tough, like Morgan, when he does shit like that, I'm like, oh my God, your voice is so good. And I don't know. It was the first song I listened to. I listened to the album version when it first came out because it was the number one song on the album. Yep. So I just went in order.
And it's still starred on Apple Music.
What?
The original version, the number one, is still starred on Apple Music.
Yeah.
So people just click it, just uh-huh. to click it.
And it's just like, when I heard it, it wasn't what I was expecting for him to open his double album with at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he did, because it made me listen. I was like, oh, this is what he's going to do. He's going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And he wants to open it with a soft kind of.
It definitely wasn't. I didn't expect it. I definitely didn't either.
And then when he did the Dangerous session, when it was literally just a stripped down sound and his voice, it was just chef's kiss.
Cool. Well, we'll play a little bit of it, because I listened to some of it, but damn, yeah, no, it's real like soft and like a ballad, yeah. Like you said. And it puts you in the feels.
100%. Now you need a lighter.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I actually have one.
Here, put my phone light up.
Like, I can, no, sing, listen to this at a concert. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see this clear as day, him playing on the... Oh, yeah.
Tennessee. Yeah, you know it. It's a good one.
Oh, it's a good song. I almost put it on my top 10, but in this, I like this version better, but I don't know. Standing in My Boots, like the original, feels very like every girl loves it. Yeah. You know, and it's on maybe not TikTok, or it is on TikTok, or you know, it's a tribute type song, I guess. I don't know. So my number one is 865.
And
the vibe, I don't know. I'm a big vibe person, and where this song also like drinking, thinking about somebody, maybe you hit them up, maybe like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It kind of gets you in the feels as well, or at least a little bit.
It's
like
kind of like a good feel. It doesn't make you feel like shit. It's just like, I wonder what they're doing.
That exactly. I think more so like, yeah, not sad, but just in the feels of, how are they doing this and that? So we'll play a little bit of it.
So catchy.
Oh yeah, and I think that's probably a big reason why it was so high, but. This is the first song I play. Oh, yeah. I probably played this song like 40 times already. Oh, yeah. My number one, 100%. So awesome. That was great.
My honorable mentions.
Now, I don't even know if I want to get into it because it's a participation trophy, but we will.
Because, like I said, I only dislike 9 out of the 23. And it's not even that I dislike, I just won't listen. I had to do something because these songs just missed
me. Top 10. So they could be, so obviously they're 11, 12, 13. And,
yeah.
But they could be entertaining. Cool.
In no particular order either. Right. I just want to start with this one because this isn't Morgan Wallen's song. It's actually Jason Isbell's song. The Cover Me Up cover is just freaking phenomenal. That song came out in 2019. He released it, and it was just, I got chills the second I heard it. And I didn't realize that it was somebody else's song first until I covered it for New England Country Music. So I did a whole single review on it. And basically that's just pulling apart your favorite parts and why they did it this way. And Morgan's cover is just outstanding. And even the original singer had said that he was like, he did a phenomenal job covering my song and he did it so much justice. So I had to shout that one out because it's not his, so it doesn't really count.
But well, that one also with the lyrics, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he was saying that he like he's not going to go out to put more wood in the fire. You got to keep me warm. Is that another song?
I didn't realize that this song was written because I don't want to speak completely out of term, but I believe Jason Isbell, I believe is how you say it, was suffering from alcoholism, and his wife was the one that kept like pulling him out every time. So it was just kind of talking about his road to recovery and getting to the point where he's like, I don't want to drink anymore. Damn. And the whole like cover me up thing is just basically like his wife is protecting him and covering him and like pulling him to a better place in life. And he doesn't want to leave to go put wood on the fire, or this house is going to be taken away in the river because he just wants to stay where he is with his wife, always being in the moment. And then Morgan did it, which is kind of ironic because it seems like he's kind of going through some drinking
shit. He definitely is.
So sure. I don't know. I think that song was great. Mm. And it was so well done.
Nice.
My other three.
You have a, wait, hold on. You have
three. I won't explain them. I'll just list them.
Oh jeez. No, you can explain them, but it's very much a participation trophy.
Oh yeah, they get the thanks for coming.
Cool.
But okay, so I did Seven Summers because that song again is just, it's a radio bop. You hear it and sing it. And then I will say though, I heard the demo on TikTok and it sounded so different compared to what he released. And I kind of liked the demo better.
But I'll have to look into that.
It's neither here nor there, but it still makes my honorable mentions. And then I had Wondering About the Wind because that song is so amazing, and Neon Eyes as well.
Nice. Cool. Yeah. No, I appreciate, you know, taking the time to go through that. You know, the honorable mention ones, it's okay. they get their thanks for coming. But no, it was awesome. And I'm excited for,
I think we should do this more because this, we could talk for days.
We could, we really could. I, just about like, just about Brady and just about like the story, but like country music, I think we'll definitely get into some more with like different artists, even albums, like who knows, you know, who. So I wanted to ask before we jumped in, but who's your favorite country artist like right now or of all time? Let's go like all time favorite country artist. You're playing it first song on the radio or on in your car.
I just have Kenny Chesney is my absolute favorite country artist. I love him so much, but he is more like Jimmy Buffett style country. Yeah. He's very beachy. I don't necessarily play him when I get in the car. I really don't. I don't go to like play a Kenny Chesney song as my go-to, but sometimes I just get in the mood and all I will do is listen to Kenny. Mm-hmm. But he is like the guy that made me like country. So, and since then I've just obsessed. But I feel like I can't really pick a top country artist other than him because there's so much talent and they're very different. So I don't know. Yeah. I like the smaller names. Like Morgan Wallen was a smaller name. I like
him. Now he's big.
Those types of people. Chase Rice.
I would agree that Kenny is like the ultimate. I would say Kenny is the ultimate summer. You're on a boat. You're at the beach, you're maybe just pre-gaming or tailgating for another concert and it's hot and who knows, maybe you have margaritas, you're in beer and fucking Kenny. Like he's pure summer from like May 1st through September 30th. It's not really officially summer, but that is the like specific time. I would go Jason Aldean.
He's
my number one. I've seen him a few times in concert and I have a playlist that is specifically, well, it's added a little bit, but it was specifically his last two albums. And I could name, I do want to do a segment or even like a podcast of those two albums. Cause I could name every single song. Like Blacktop Gone is from two albums ago, and that was fucking awesome. So Jason Aldean is my number one, but Kenny is Kenny's up there.
I haven't heard really. So for me, Jason sounds the same. Any of in his new, like, yeah. I would say his recent four albums, they all sound the exact same to me, which, like, I get he's kind of like the rock country, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't bring myself to really listen to his albums because I know they're going to sound the same. But yeah. I would be interested to do it because I don't think I've really listened to the last two albums. So it'd be kind of a different take for me than it would be for you.
Yeah. No, I think we should. I would love to continue to like do segments on country music. Obviously you've written, you know, and you're a big country fan. And so I love country. I think we all, or I know like with you two, like span different genres, depending if you're going to Hot Club.
Country's not playing at Hot Club.
Country's not playing at Hot Club, or Country's not playing at Rooftop, but there were some vibes. There were some good vibes at Rooftop. Have you been back since like Igloos and like COVID or no?
No, I haven't been to Rooftop. I went to Hot Club in the summer, but that was when you had to leave by 7:30. They closed.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and we sat outside and we had to get food, and it just, we wanted to go just to say that we went, but
honestly, it wasn't the same.
It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I've been to Fish Company. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Very, very clubby at Fish Co.
Yeah, I haven't. I sat out there in the summer. For me, I can't get over. It's still whiskey.
I'll go.
Yeah, it's still whiskey, but it's not like, obviously you're just sitting with your group. But it's not packed. It's, I don't know about how it'll be in the next couple weeks and months, but Fish Co. is like, I'm trying to give it a chance, trying to be open. But also I'm not gonna sit outside and it's 10 degrees out.
Right.
So
Fish Co. has the potential to be really cool, but then it also teeters on being very trashy like whiskey was. And I think they're going towards the trashy.
Ooh.
So I hope not, because it's really cool and they did a good job, but like, it's still whiskey.
Yeah, you still have that, like, the memories, and it's like, but it's just got to keep an open mind. With that place, obviously I said it, like, my number one place is Laura's Bar and Grill. If you haven't been, you got to go, because obviously you're a big Patriots fan.
Yeah.
They have a mural of Tom Brady. They have just TVs everywhere for games and such. And the food is really good. Food's really good. And they, like, they're not just a bar. They have like real food. Like I had salmon risotto a couple of weeks ago.
Ooh.
Yo, when I tell you, it was the best, and I like salmon. Yeah. I've never had risotto until that night, and it was the best. And like they have penne alla vodka chicken. You can get like different things, pizza or flatbreads. I love it. I will be.
I'm out now. I'm intrigued.
It's awesome. So yeah. So definitely go check that out if you've never been. But I'm going to pause the recording here. I'll probably just edit.
Yeah.